I'm wondering this morning how many of us, as we begin this new year, are ready and willing to make a new beginning. As we boldly stride into 2026, I can't help but think what a challenge this could be to each of us, to be ready and willing to embrace a new beginning as God's people. It is possible, you know. But this new beginning that I'm speaking of goes far deeper than just making a few random resolutions that will most likely break within a week or two. After all, don't we hope for something so much more each and every new year? Don't we long in the depths of our hearts for a radical change in our lives that will endure? A change that'll go much deeper than just adhering to a new diet plan or a fitness program. It's been a number of years ago, but a remarkable story was told in the popular magazine People about a 12-year-old boy who was living in Florida at the time who wanted to make a radical change in his life. Evidently, as the story was told, this young lad had been shuffled back and forth from foster home to foster home so many times that he had lost track. So finally, at the age of 12, he made the bold step of seeking to file a lawsuit against his mother in order to claim independence from her so that he could be adopted by a family that he knew loved him. Sadly, this fellow's mother had only been with him about 3 or 4 times in 12 years of his living, and he wanted more. And so he sought a radical change because he wanted to belong. Now, friends, I share this story with you because I suspect there are times in each of our lives when we have this deep yearning inside to belong. We want to know, as individuals, that we're special, that we're valued for who we are, not only as individuals, but most especially as children of God. Today's gospel lesson from Matthew reveals to us this powerful message, I believe. It's an example given to us through the baptism of our own Lord, Jesus. Now, I need to say to you at the outset, as we reflect on this message today, that Jesus didn't need baptism. He wasn't seeking a radical change in his life or a new beginning because, as you well know, Jesus, as God's son, had the premier credentialing of the altogether life. Wouldn't you agree? Matthew's gospel, though, makes it clear that even as Jesus goes to John the Baptist, this request for baptism came as a bit of a shock. Because even John knew there was something special and significant about Jesus. And so he blurts out, and we read these words today, "I need to be baptized by you, and yet you come to me," John says. So why was Jesus baptized? Over my 35 plus years as a pastor, every year this text is revisited at the beginning of the season of Epiphany, and always the question comes to mind, why? Why did Jesus need to be baptized? John was calling people to baptism in order to repent of their sins, to turn their lives around, to make a radical change. Why would Jesus, who was sinless, need such a change in his life? Well, simply put, it's my belief that Jesus sought baptism to be the front runner, to model to us that we need baptism. We need the radical change. We need the new beginning. And more specifically, Jesus knew that we needed to be reminded through our baptisms that we belong. We belong to God. God intimately connects himself with us through this powerful experience called baptism. So just as Jesus went to the baptismal waters, he was declared to have an identity that we all, I believe, yearn for. This is my son, my beloved. And friends, it's echoed again and again whenever we gather around the baptismal moment. You know some of the words well. After a child or a person of any age within our tradition who is washed in the waters of baptism, there is a gesture that is made. An invisible sign of the cross is traced on the forehead of the newly baptized. A bold message to say to that individual, you belong. You belong to the living God. And so when we come to those waters, we hear the words, David, child of God, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked now with the cross of Christ forever. In those words, through baptism, we're each taught and reminded we belong. Through baptism, we're made a part of God's family and we're declared to be the sons and daughters of the living God. Now, I don't know about you, but as I've taught those words to young people in confirmation classes over the years, I find it astounding. It's always surprising. It's a bold declaration. I'm a child of God, a son of the living God. Can you imagine having such credentialing? But you know, as powerful as that message is, the sad part of hearing that good news is that we don't often live into that identity. We rarely recognize or embrace that identity for ourselves. We never fully become, I dare say, who we were meant to be. It's almost as if we live out our lives of faith in an arrested sense of development. But this is not what God wants for us. So that's why I go back to the beginning with you again in this time of reflection. Why was Jesus baptized? Well, besides reminding us that we need baptism as God's children, we need to know that we belong, Jesus also was baptized to declare a powerful message. Now, everyone knows that the success of any undertaking in life is often determined by the moment that we choose to begin it. We've spoken maybe these words ourselves. Timing is everything. And when John the Baptist emerged onto the world stage, it was such a time. It was a time of spiritual revival. God's Spirit, the power of that Spirit, was beginning to be recognized among the people. This is why they sought out John out in the wilderness. They sought to have a renewed connection with the living God. And John was speaking that powerful message. People from all over were becoming aware, perhaps for the first time, of a deepened need for God in their lives. Jesus, coming to baptism, wanted everyone to know that, yes, that's an important pathway to follow, but the source of that change in one's life was Him. He came to the waters of baptism to demonstrate to us that He wants us to know He is the source of change that we're yearning for in our lives. So we read in the story today, Jesus standing toe-to-toe with His own cousin, John, the baptizer, and as the waters of the Jordan River are streaming down Jesus' face, the witness from Matthew's gospel says something incredible happened in that moment. The timing was perfect. The heavens were told opened, and an expression of God's Spirit came and descended upon Jesus like a dove. The presence of the Spirit became recognizable. And a voice, we're told, spoke boldly for heaven, saying, "This is my Son." Credentialing that outwins any kind of credentials that you could ever want in life. "This is my Son." People of God, are we listening to these words? This climactic message is being addressed, I believe, not just to Jesus. Yes, it was a moment in time in the Scriptures, but it was meant for more than Jesus alone. When we come to baptism, we too are meant to be included in that credentialing, that identification. This is my son. This is my daughter. Those who are baptized belong. They are a part of God's identity. We call this season, friends, Epiphany, because Epiphany is a word that is defined as saying the truth is revealed and received. And throughout this season, we're invited again and again, not only to hear the truth, but to find ways to embrace it and acknowledge it in our lives. The heavenly broadcast that Matthew records for us is declaring that this Jesus of Nazareth is much more than just a son of Mary and Joseph the carpenter. Jesus, in reality, is one who has been chosen to become more fully who God wants to be in the world. The one who would be the liberator, the restorer of the lost, the fulfiller of hope, a light to the nations. The ancient prophet Isaiah that we heard read from earlier in the service paves the way to this understanding. For centuries of time, the prophet had proclaimed, "Here is my servant, my chosen. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice, becoming a light to the nations." And as I've read those words throughout this week, I've realized that that message was not just tailor-made for Jesus. It's a message that was intended for all of God's people. All are intended to be a light to the nations. We are to shine for Jesus in the world. It's our mission as well, to be those who bring healing and hope and promise of new beginnings. Which brings me back to the beginning. Why was Jesus baptized? Not just to remind us that we need to belong or that we need a change in our lives, but to awaken us afresh to the role that has always been ours as those who are baptized children of God. Awaken to the role that we share with Jesus. We are to be agents of change as well in the world. Through baptism, we become so completely interconnected with our Lord Jesus that the world can no longer distinguish where Jesus leaves off and where we begin. We literally, as bold as this might sound, we literally are meant to become Jesus to the world in the unique way in which we express our lives. This, too, is echoed in that service of baptism that many of us have observed over the years, a commissioning that is declared directly to all who are baptized. You know it well. A candle is lit from the Christ candle and passed along to the newly baptized one, and these words are declared again, "Let your light so shine before others, that all may see your good works, that you give glory to your Father in heaven." Now, how does that mission unfold in your life and mine? I want to begin by saying, we say yes to the mission. We say yes repeatedly to who we are. Yes, Son of God. Yes, Daughter of God. Dear friends, this is how our Lord Jesus lived his life. Time and time again, he lived out his life saying yes to his Heavenly Father. The yes that our brother Jesus made real meant bringing good news to those who were poor in spirit, those who felt hopeless and in despair. It meant welcoming those who are labeled as outsiders or foreigners or those who are different. The yes that our brother Jesus lived meant offering hospitality to those who were hungering for hope, yearning and thirsting for new beginnings. The yes that our brother Jesus revealed meant forgiving those who offend and doing so without limit. sharing gestures of compassion and healing for those who are in need. The yes that our brother Jesus demonstrated meant working for peace in a world that was often torn apart by violent acts. Speaking truth to power, as our Lord did, to the religious authorities of his day and those who were in high positions of politics. The yes our brother Jesus demonstrated meant persevering in faithful living, even though he was mocked and beaten and it led to a cross. Proclaiming life beyond the experience of death, as Jesus himself hung upon a cross and yet looked to that repentant thief and said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus never backed away, never turned away, never withheld his all from those who were in need to hear of hope and new beginnings. He stepped into the deep waters of human suffering. He immersed himself in your life and mine to show us God in the flesh. And friends, we're called to no less. As brothers and sisters in Christ, opportunities for you and me to say yes to our baptism, to say yes to the will and the ways of God, come at us every day. So today, in this celebration of the baptism of our Lord, we're being asked again to say yes in the midst of a world that still needs to see Jesus, to see an outpouring of his love without limit, his forgiveness, his hospitality, his compassion, his courage, his faithfulness, his peace. Friends, when we say yes, we make a decision to wade deeply into these waters of baptism that designated us as the representatives of God. May we continue to do so. And as we do so, to look for the ways that our light shines in the world that needs to see Jesus. And to that I say, may it be so. Amen.